everyone, Steve Cooper, the Conservative Monster. I have a very special guest today, Mr. Jason Matera. How are you, Jason?
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me on the program again.
Well, it's been a long time. A lot has happened since 2009, since we last spoke. That was the beginning of the Tea Party. What's your opinion? What's the end game here? What's going on?
Well, I think conservatives clearly have their work cut out for them. A disappointing loss in 2012, and now there's a ton of soul searching on whether the GOP should moderate their message or whether the GOP should stick to their conservative guns and actually have candidates who reflect conservative ideas confidently. And you know, I tend to fall into the latter category, but it's always good to have this type of soul searching because it sharpens and refines you know, one's beliefs.
Now, I'm just curious, and again, I know it was brought up before the election. Voter fraud was constantly brought up and then disappeared from the media. I'm a believer. I think that's something they just swept under the rug to avoid a problem. What do you think?
Yeah, I tend to agree. When there are instances in Illinois and Pennsylvania where you have some voting precincts going 100% to Barack Obama, you know, it seems unlikely. You know, both of us are from New York, and we would understand if a high percentage there were voting for Barack Obama, and did. But it seems just a little, just highly improbable that one candidate would get 100% of the vote.
Yeah.
But I do think that there is fraud there. I think it needs to be investigated more so. But is that the reason why Republicans lost in 2012? No, I don't think so. So I wouldn't use that as certainly as an excuse. But I do think to keep the integrity of our elections and not cancel out anyone's vote, I think we should have be rigorously enforcing voting standards, and among that has to be proving your one's identification before you actually go and cast your ballot.
Right. Now the first of all, I want to get into your book. Okay, I was looking the other day. I didn't know that this new book. First, you had Obama Zombies, and then now you have Hollywood Hypocrites. It's called.
Yeah, that came out about a year ago. Hollywood Hypocrites, the devastating truth about Barack Obama's biggest backers. And I hate to say it, but it was prescient. I said in the book and made the point that Hollywood would come to Barack Obama's rescue, that he would use Hollywood more so than he did in 2008. And that's exactly what happened. It was not a week went by where he wasn't mingling with some celebrity, either at a fundraiser. Remember, Barack Obama brought in $1.1 billion this time around, and that was largely because his biggest bundlers were Hollywood executives. But the point Hollywood played in acting as surrogates, and that is getting the low-information voter, getting that voter who is more concerned about whether, you know, Snooki's going to have another kid or not, than the state of the economy. And I think conservatives for too long have ceded on the cultural front, and the book was to lay out the hypocrisy of many of these Hollywood elitists who don't even follow the same prescriptions they try to inflict on the rest of us, but then to show how the GOP really needs to get back into the cultural game and not just focus on Washington, D.C., but, you know, focus on places like Seattle, focus on other urban areas and embrace, and, you know, embrace entertainment media, because it so much drives our society and influences us today.
Well, you know what I didn't know, I wanted to tell you or mention it, was so both books have been on the New York Times bestsellers list. That is like a huge achievement, considering I'm sure you were basically ignored by major networks and CNN and MSNBC. You know, that's pretty awesome, bro. Congratulations.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I've just been really blessed and humbled by the the success of both books, and it shows us the message that is resonating with people. And there's tons of investigative research that go into what I write, or certainly these books of Papa Zombies and Hollywood Hypocrites, and I try to give people new information that they may not have read about prior, and really help them connect the dots on how deep the nexus between Hollywood and Barack Obama goes.
Well, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I wanted to ask you, my theory on this is like Jay-Z and all these very wealthy people, I believe they all contribute to Obama, because down the road, when wealth redistribution really comes into full swing, they want to be spared. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at many of these celebrities who campaigned with Barack Obama, now I don't know how Jay-Z's finances are structured and how his business operates, but let's take someone, two big liberal surrogates, and that's Bruce Springsteen and Jon Bon Jovi.
Right.
Both have campaigned for Barack Obama in 2008 and 2012. Both have hosted fundraisers for their candidate. So I'm guessing they align with his tax the rich message, and we need more of that money to spend on social welfare programs. So both individuals go out of their way, amazingly out of their way, to ensure they keep the fruits of their own labor. In the state of New Jersey, they actually classify they classify themselves not as musicians, but on their property taxes, they say they're farmers. They're farmers, and the reason why, Steve, is because if you just produce $500 worth of goods in the state of New Jersey, then you can write off a jaw-dropping 98% of your property taxes. 98% of your property taxes where you supposedly produce fruits and vegetables, and you herd livestock. So here you have both individuals who save, hundreds of thousands of dollars on in property taxes that could otherwise go to social welfare programs that they purportedly support.
Okay, now, this is one problem I had with the Tea Party is this, and the Republicans also. They never bring up that these not-for-profit, these non-profit organizations, I'm not talking about religions, okay? These non-profit organizations that are tax-exempt, many people in Hollywood or whatever, famous people, they have all of these organizations that they basically are not paying taxes through, and they're laundering their money through that. That's why they're saying, Obama, yeah, sure, redistribute, because their money's being laundered through that, and they're protected. And the middle class will pick up the tab because they don't have the convenience of owning a not-for-profit. What's your opinion on this?
Well, yeah, if you are a non-profit, then you, as you said, you can reduce your tax liability significantly. And it was primarily set up for religious organizations and for charities and those who are really helping the needy. Now you have organizations like Media Matters, for instance, that's a nonprofit.
Right.
And I mean, Media Matters, if they're not political, then the word has essentially lost all meaning. There are tons of organizations on the right and the left who go up to that line of whether it becomes politics or whether they're just endorsing an idea. I would be a lot more comfortable with not even worrying about the Media Matters of the world and their nonprofit status if we had a tax code that was fair and equitable. But you have to be part of the elite to get a special tax break,
right,
carved out in our tax code. And for instance, Steve, I mean, just look at the fiscal cliff deal. Hollywood got more than $400 million in tax subsidies carved out for them. Now, what did that have to do with this last-minute crisis we're about that face with everyone's taxes going up? Why did Hollywood, tax subsidies for Hollywood and like electric scooters have to be put in there? It's because the rich and powerful are able to hire lobbyists to carve out these favorable laws and regulations. I would rather much do away with these and have people compete on a free market level, and therefore I think it would bring tax equity for everyone.
Now, again, the questions I ask you, you will never hear from anyone in the media, because you know they have a certain script. But my opinion is the elite want to disarm the middle class. That's their goal, because they have they know the economy. They're trying to break it on purpose, the whole cloud and pivot strategy. And basically, they're worried. They're worried, and they know when things get really bad that the middle class might be up in arms, and they want them disarmed. What do you think about that?
Well, the purpose of the Second Amendment was to have individuals be able to protect themselves, their family, protect not only domestically from, say, a home invasion, but from a foreign invasion, but also from government tyranny as well.
Right.
The founders knew very vividly what government tyranny looked like, and that's why they wanted a well-regulated militia, which was essentially the citizens of that time. So if you would transport the Founding Fathers to today, and they would be engulfed in this debate on whether or not bureaucrats can tell us what type of, how many rounds we can put in a magazine and what type of firearms we can essentially own, they would be disgusted, because who knows when a government usurps the Constitution to the point where, you know, where a citizenry has to take action. I don't see it. I hope my kids don't have to see it. But as we see within, you know, the 20th century, there are examples galore of governments enslaving their people. And that's why the Second Amendment largely exists, is to protect the people from the government.
Well, also, you know, what gets me suspicious and actually, you know, it gets me very suspicious is the way leftists act when it's brought up that the Second Amendment is to prevent against tyranny. They get all nervous and flustered. What are they so nervous about? What are they protecting? Is there something they know that we don't know? I would like them to fill in the blank.
Well, they don't have to worry about following their own legislation. They'll carve out stuff for them. I mean, someone like Bloomberg, and, you know, we had, I know you had reached out to me because you saw the Bloomberg on
right.
interview.
Yeah.
The guy can have five, presumably, armed security guards with him 24 hours a day. So, and I think he should. He's a politician, but politicians will be able to have security guards. I mean, heck, to get, you know, where I am right now in the Capitol, to get in the Capitol building, you have to go through metal detectors. You have to, there are Capitol police officers. I mean, congressmen and senators feel safe because of the level of security within the Capitol, as they should. But it's then hypocritical when they try to disarm you and me, or heavily restrict the type of firearm that we can have. So I just think they want to control us, and whether it's what we, you know, what we eat or what we can use to protect our family, they want to control us, but they want us to be to be looking to them, the government, the state, for our daily sustenance. So you remember that caricature Julia during the, you know, this last campaign, and
right.
was taken care of by government from birth until death, essentially, and that, you know, that is the left-wing vision for America.
Now, I noticed you had a large soda when you were chasing Bloomberg around. I think the sugar from the soda added to your excitement when you saw Bloomberg, and I think that might have gotten the NYPD security team a little nervous, because they don't know who you are. If I was in the security team, I'm retired NYPD, I would have said, oh, it's Jason Matera. He's just he's just excited from the sugar from the big soda he drank, you know?
Well, listen, again, nobody, the point with me and the mayor was, if he really is an advocate of gun control, he can prove it by disarming the security.
Right.
Now, we know that wouldn't be the case, and he should have NYPD officers trailing him wherever he goes. You know, my contention, and I love, you know, I love the NYPD, and I, most of them are conservatives anyway, and, you know, even I have people who reached out to me on Bloomberg, who reached out to me on Bloomberg security detail, and and so they can't even stand him. So I'm very sympathetic and to the NYPD. But the one officer stopped him and definitely overstepped his bounds. When he followed me a block later and claimed he had something called security jurisdiction to question me. Security jurisdiction doesn't exist. It's a legal phrase that he just made up, and while he has certainly the jurisdiction to protect the principal involved, in this case Bloomberg, he didn't have the jurisdiction to go follow, question me, then to follow me even further and ask for my date of birth. So I think if there were real media in this country, that incident would have been investigated and actually had Officer Stockton to justify his actions. But we don't have a real media in this country. And the point wasn't against the NYPD. The point was against Mayor Bloomberg and his hypocrisy.
Well, you know what usually happens, I can tell you from being a former police officer, whenever there's an incident, they usually want the person's name to do like an incident report. Now, you could refuse to give your name. Now, they usually put the date of birth on there, too, and you can refuse that also, which you did. So I think that's what he was trying to do was get, there's an incident report that we do when we stop a person or if there's an incident or even though you didn't do anything. And once you identified yourself, I wrote this on the Conservative Monster, once you identified yourself as a member of the media with credentials, it should have ended right there. Okay? That's my opinion. I don't know if...
Well, I read what you wrote. No, I read what you wrote, and, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. It's, you know, because, again, if... You know, most people know who Jason Matera is, but if these guys, they work a lot of overtime, if they don't know who you are, then they think that you might be a risk, then, you know, you don't want to get, slammed by accident or whatever. You don't know what's going to happen because they don't know, you know what I'm saying? But I'm glad it was nothing happened, but, you know, you're right. Following you, he's allowed to ask you for your date of birth for that report. I'm just wanting to let you know. But, taking it too far, then, you know, I understand the feeling. This is, I wrote on the Conservative Monster, this is New York City, it's not Moscow. And we have to sort of, you know, once you identify yourself...
It wasn't, that's the thing, it wasn't New York City, it was Washington, D.C.
Oh, that was Washington, okay.
Yeah, that's why I said he didn't have security jurisdiction to follow and question me because it didn't happen in New York City.
I see. Okay, I thought that was in New York City. But since he's on a detail and he's still acting as a police... You see, he's still a police officer. Even though he's out of his jurisdiction, he's acting as a police officer. And they usually notify the Washington police, so he does have authority in Washington also because they were notified that the mayor's coming with NYPD.
Oh, yeah, he has authority, and we checked this out with New York federal prosecutors. He had the authority to protect his principal.
Sure.
Holmberg, but no authority to follow and question after because, you know, I'm down the block at this point, and unless he was deputized by the marshals prior, which I highly doubt. But, this point, it's I'm glad the video has received the level of attention that it has. Under 24 hours, it had already 250,000 hits on YouTube and has been bounced around the internet, ricocheted on television, and that is really to show that there are two sets of rules.
Yes.
There's a rule for politicians, and then there's the rule for us. Why is Mike Bloomberg's life more valuable than that single mother in New York City who's trying to protect her own family from thugs and wannabe thugs who are trying to break in and vandalize her home?
You did it again. You like to shake them up. I mean, I love it. You know, I wanted to ask you one other thing, and I'll let you go. I know you're busy. Now, we were all looking for this video for the first day, and it was removed or private. Was there any reason what happened with that?
I don't know. I don't...
Okay.
I'm not sure what you're referring... I mean, it may have been set to public on YouTube accidentally and then made private.
Okay. Yeah.
That's been the case. But, no, we were scheduled to release it on Monday and...
Okay, because we were looking and it was... Once I clicked the video, it said private, so I said, oh, okay, I didn't know if...
I suspect that's what happened. It was private originally, then made public accidentally, and then made private again.
Gotcha, okay. Well, JasonMatera.com, you know, stay safe. You might need a security team soon with these crazy left-wingers. They're nuts.
They are nuts.
They're nuts.
Steve, I appreciate you having me on again. I look forward to our next conversation.
Be safe, bro. Take care. Bye.
Bye. All right, thanks. Bye.